love demands two things. It demands a lover, and it demands a lovee. Someone to give, someone to receive. And because God is a lover, He had to have somebody to pour that love out upon. Sometimes it's almost a strange thought to us that God should have needs. Being that He is all wise and all powerful and everywhere present, sometimes we would think that God did not have needs, but He does. His very nature demands an intelligent creature to pour out His love upon. And nothing makes a father happier than to have a lovee look like him. We are told in Scripture, by the pen of inspiration, that after Adam and Eve lost Cain and Abel, God gave to them Seth. And to try and compensate, to try and reward Adam in some way, He made Seth look more like Adam than the other two. We had an empty chair at our breakfast table this morning. So did many of you that are here today. Or the pathfinders are gone camping. And as I sat at the table and I looked at the empty chair, I realized how much I love my boy. Last night at the table, our littlest one, Michael, pointed to the empty chair and he said, "If Eric was here, he'd be sitting there." Love demands a lovee. God wanted a creature to be like him, to look like him, and to act like him, and conduct himself like him, and so it was that He made Adam in His image to look like Him. And there was nothing that God delighted in more than being able to come to the garden in the evening, we're told in the cool of the day, and He would walk and talk with Adam. And they would share the evening hours together. And each evening that God would come, Adam would grow a little more like his lover. But then one day, Adam committed adultery. He loved someone more than he loved his God. It was himself. And the lover came, and he said, "Adam, I'm sorry, but we cannot walk together in the evenings anymore." And it was like a great light had gone out. It was like a great cloud of darkness that just seemed to swallow up the world. Not really total darkness, but growing shadows, growing darker and darker each day. And so it was that the lover would come, and he would stand in the shadows and he would watch the ones that he loved, but he could not now talk with them face to face any longer. He stood in the shadows and he watched because he loved them. And then the day came when Adam and Eve were walking through a field one day, and they came across the body of Abel. And they knelt down, and Eve took that strong, handsome head in her lap, and she pushed the hair away from his bloodied forehead. And she and Adam wept over Abel. And the lover stood in the shadows and he watched. And he wept also. Because it was not supposed to be that way. They were supposed to have been so happy. The light was supposed to have stayed. The love was supposed to have been shared with all. Oh, how God had watched and laughed when Cain and Abel were born. Oh, they watched as Eve took that son in her arms and said, God has given me a man. And she laughed, and the lover laughed with them. But now the laughter has turned to tears. And the lover stood in the shadows and watched it get worse and worse until the day came that in order to save some, love demands that some be saved. In order to save some, he had to talk to Noah. Oh, how the world had changed. Animals were eating each other. The flowers had grown thorns and thistles, and the light continued to grow dimmer and dimmer. I tell you, the day that it started to rain was a day that the lover will never forget. For every human being that is born, there is the promise of some new being to grow up into the image of God and be transformed by His grace and to love Him. And as the waters grew higher and higher and the waves began to roll over the hilltops, washing the people away. Every time a person was swept into the deep, another dream of God drowned with that person. And the lover mixed his tears with the rain that fell. It was not long after the flood that man again began to defy God. He built a tower so tall, he said, that no amount of water could ever encompass it. Somehow man lost or was not able somehow to grasp the idea of who God really was and what his character was like. He didn't understand because the darkness had gotten so deep upon his mind. They had forgotten. But finally there was one man who did respond to that love. And God says, because this man responds to my love, I will make of him a great nation. And so Abraham was called from Ur of the Chaldees. For God would save some. Somebody to love. Somebody to be loved by. That's why he opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel. That's why he gave them manna every day in the wilderness. That's why he sent the hornets before them and caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. It was because he loved them. But the darkness had grown so deep on the children of Israel that they didn't know how to love back. And that's why it was finally necessary for God to have to speak and write with his own finger on tables of stone the Ten Commandments. To teach them how to love, because that is really all the Ten Commandments are. The law is nothing more than a statement to tell us how to love. If you love somebody, you don't kill them. If you love somebody, you don't take their name in vain. If you love somebody, you don't tell lies about them. If you love somebody, you don't try and take their wife. But strange how in our darkness we sometimes think that God's laws are prohibitive and restrictive. We look at the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. And the lover stands in the shadow and shakes his head and says, why can't they understand? Why can't they believe that the only reason I ask them not to do certain things is because I love them and I want them to be happy? Everything that God ever asks us not to do, it isn't because he wants to deprive us of something that's enjoyable, but he wants to keep from us something that he knows will ultimately hurt us. I forbid my children to sleep in the middle of the street. Not because I want to deprive them of the privilege of laying on the concrete. Because I don't want them to get run over. But man would not. Not because he could not, but would not understand. And so it was at the midnight hour of this earth's history, we were told, when death was a mystery and paganism had reached its lowest depth, that God brought a ray of light into this darkness. The lover finally came in the form of a man to try and penetrate the darkness and give us light. I tell you how precious light is. Have you ever been in the darkness and longed for light? Last summer, my family and I went backpacking in the Smokies. And we had noted on the map that there was a certain shelter along the trail where one could go in and you could close the shelter to keep the bears out. We didn't want to sleep, you know, with the bears. And so we started out to get towards this shelter and we pressed on. But we noticed that the sun started to go down. And as the sun was going down, we noticed that we couldn't see so well along the trail. And I began to grow a little apprehensive because it grew darker and darker. Pretty soon we were having a difficult time even seeing the trail. It grew so dark. We noticed that the boys who, usually were running ahead or lagging way behind, now were sticking very close. Matter of fact, so close it became difficult to walk. And then we started to hear strange noises. We probably had heard them all day long, but now they seemed terribly strange and terribly close. We would stumble on rocks. We would get off of the trail and have to almost feel our way back. And suddenly, finally, what seemed like an eternity, there up in the woods ahead, we saw a faint little glow of a light. Oh, what a joy it was to see that light in the darkness. We pressed on the trail now with a very definite purpose in mind. We were following that light. And the closer and closer we got to it, the more it glowed and the more warm and welcome it seemed. And finally, we broke into a clearing, and there was the shelter. And there were some other campers that were already there that night. And they had a little candle. It was just a little candle. Just one little flame. But oh, how welcome it was. For it was a place of shelter and safety for the night. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like you to open them with me to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1.
We're going to start reading at verse 3. And it says, all things were made by him, referring of course to Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light came. It shone through the darkness. God desperately, because he loved man, wanted man to receive enough light to be able to see and understand. Please turn now to John 3, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you see why Jesus came? Do you see why the lover appeared? Not to condemn. God never wants to condemn us. Let's read on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they may be wrought in God. After Jesus left us, the enemy tried everything that he could do to kill that light, to put it out. He tried to kill and destroy all the beautiful things of nature. We are told that God has to daily sustain the flowers and the birds. For if Lucifer had his way, he would destroy every beautiful thing in the world, that we might not be reminded of the lover. And so the enemy changed the Sabbath to another day, so that man would forget the lover creator. The seventh day is a memorial of Sabbath. Man must not know about the love of his maker. It was inevitable. The Sabbath had to go. It had to be replaced by another day. And it was also inevitable that with the loss of the Sabbath would naturally come the theory of evolution. The lover must be forgotten. And the world slipped into such darkness that even worldly historians call the ages that came to pass the Dark Ages. There was so little light. But one day there was a monk sitting in his monastery room, and he was reading his Bible, and a ray of light pierced the gloom of that room, and Martin Luther stepped out of that monastery and begin to preach. And little by little, thank God, he has been shedding more and more light on his people. The light glowed through Luther. It grew brighter through Wesley. It grew even brighter through William Miller. And the light grew to intensity through Ellen White. The lover sought to penetrate the darkness. The broken heart of the lover could not stand this forever. He had to do something to be able to communicate and restore his people back into his image. Behold, the bridegroom comes to take unto himself his own, that we might be together again. 100 years ago, the lover knew that the lovee needed more light. And so the lesser light was given to aid us in understanding the greater light. And today, God's people hold the treasure of the Spirit of Prophecy on their bookshelf, given by a lover to make his people happy. And now I'm afraid again the lover stands in the shadows and he weeps. When he says, why? Why can I not understand that this was meant not to be restrictive? That those little red books were given because they were They were designed to help us to understand how we can be healthy and happy and how we can have sharp, clear minds. You know, the whole purpose of our health message is that God wants to be able to have good, clear minds to communicate with. If we deliberately dull our minds through habits of intemperance, overeating, lack of rest, lack of exercise, flesh foods, overabundance of sugars and spices, and dulling our minds with the caffeine of coffee and Coke and Pepsi, and then we expect God to be able to communicate to us when we have dulled our senses. Have you ever talked to anyone who is deaf and dumb and blind both? They can communicate. But you have to come to them and you have to speak slowly to them. And you have to let them reach out and feel your lips and feel your face. And in order to communicate an idea to a blind and deaf and dumb person who have lost these senses, you have to be able to work so slowly, and it is hard, laborious work to communicate. Here we are, with dulled senses, drugged by our habits of intemperance. And God is like a sighted person coming to a blind person trying to communicate. It is hard, laborious work for God to break through our dullness. This is why He has given us the message that He has given to us. He says, listen, if you do this and you don't do that and you do this, your body will be healthy and your mind will sharpen. And the sharper your mind is and the keener your senses are, the more I will be able to impart to you, the more ideas and the more thoughts that I can make of mine can be a part of you. It is no wonder that the lover weeps, because he wants to talk to us. And we put up barriers in his defense so that we cannot hear him. Oh, you know, sometimes we're so conceited in our knowledge. We think we know so much. We think we're so smart and so intelligent that we can take the little red books and we can read this part and we'll read that part and we will pick and choose for ourselves which parts that we would like to do. So the lover waits. The bridegroom tarries. He tarries until he has a group of people who will be so submitted that he will be able to really talk to them and tell them how much he loves them. Because as healthy and as handsome and as intelligent as we think we are, we're a long way from the standard. We are not what we were supposed to be. We're a long way away. And so the lover stands in the shadows and he waits and he weeps. This week in Georgia, a 12-year-old boy loaded his father's handgun and shot to death his 8-year-old brother. That's not the way it was supposed to be. And I know that the lover stood in the shadows and he wept. This past week, the world spent another $1 billion on weapons designed to kill each other. That's not the way it was supposed to be. And the lover stands and watches and weeps. This week in China, there was another major earthquake and another 100,000 people died in just a few seconds. Crushed in the security of their own homes. Suddenly they were in their house and the earth shook and their house came crashing down upon them, and that was all there was. Death had come. Life was over. 100,000 people. Not the way it was supposed to be. Not what man was designed for. And the lover stands in the shadows and he weeps. This week, here in Des Moines, little Anthony Carlos was beaten to death by his own drunken mother. That's not the way it was supposed to be. This week, Joe and Marie got a divorce. That's not the way it was supposed to be. This week, Harold Franks drank and then drove. And Bill Brophy's wife and two daughters lay dead on the interstate. That's not the way it was supposed to be. This week, Beretta, Kojak, the $6 million man, Starsky and Hutch, came on TV and fed us another meal of hate and violence. And this week, our appetite said, let's go ahead and feed here for a while. That's not the way it was supposed to be. And the lover stands in the shadows and weeps. And he says to us, why don't you study your Sabbath school lesson? And we say, I'd rather watch TV. This morning, the lover stands in the shadows and says, let me in your heart. Oh, take me to your bosom. And you said, what did you say?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.